All right. Well, bless the Lord. Praise God. He's good. You know, we're still in the seven offices of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we studied the four offices that help create Christ, develop Christ in our life. This week, we're going to go to chapter 6, and we're going to talk about the three of the seven offices that governs our lives as a believer. They help rule our life. They help control our life as a believer. Once you get that life in you, then you got to have something to keep it going, controlled and governed. Well, this is what these three are going to speak on or talk on or teach you on. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. I just thank God for sending us the Holy Spirit, somebody to help, someone to help us. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our counselor. He's everything we need to make our life successful. Amen. Nobody needs to be living a defeated life when you have the Holy Spirit working, that want to work in your life. But you're going to have to respond and cooperate with the Holy Spirit if you want to live a victorious life. That's what he came to make us, to have us to live a victorious life. Not a life struggling, halfway making it, you know. But a victorious life, a life that can represent and be just like Christ. Because we are doing his ministry on earth. We're completing it. He's still on earth doing ministry. And he's doing it through us. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to help guide us. Holy Spirit wants to be a guide. We hadn't been, you know, the beginning of this year, you know, I was praying, Holy Spirit, guide me. I have not been this way before. This is a new year to me. Guide me. Take me through this year. Help me with this year. Because I know he can. He's been there. He's been there and he came back to help us. He was sent by Jesus to help us. So these seven offices of the Holy Spirit is to help us, not to cramp our life, but to make our life fuller. Now he's come to help us break off all human limitation when we yield to him. He breaks off how much human limitation? All. Jesus desires to know him in a greater way. And the Holy Spirit is here for that. He's here to unveil Jesus to us. The deeper you go, you can see more of Jesus. He's unveiling him to us, because we're not like the disciples. We didn't eat with him, we didn't touch him, you know. But the Holy Spirit is to us what Jesus was to his disciples. Amen. And he's showing us Jesus. Yes. He wants you to know how involved he's in every detail of your life. Amen. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in every detail of your life. That's the reason it said, acknowledge me in all your ways. Now, how many ways?
All.
Oh, just the ways that I can't do, you know. All your ways, acknowledge him. And he will what?
Direct my path.
Direct your path. Praise God. Because some things look good. It may be good, but it may not be the pathway for you. And the Holy Spirit is to direct your paths if you acknowledge him in all your ways. Okay, let's get into the Word of God. Our first governing that the Holy Spirit do to us is the Spirit of grace. We're going to go right into that so I can really present this grace to you? Because we've heard, you know, I was thinking, I said, we hear so much about grace, I really could just go on to the next one. But no. The Holy Spirit gives me my little checks. So I have to line up with him. Because it's a lot out there about grace. And God wants us to know his grace. It's a lot of wrong teaching and it's a lot of right teaching out there. And it's a lot of good teaching out there on grace. And it's good. And we're going to go a little deeper in the teaching. Now this office is called, it's on page 102. And it is called the Spirit of Grace. You know, when we hear grace, we just hear grace. You know, but today we're going to talk about the office of the Spirit of Grace, governing your life, controlling your life, helping you with life. The Spirit of Grace wants to help you with life. And one of the things we want to establish before we go into this teaching is that grace is a person.
Amen.
If we get that established in our heart, we can work with grace a little bit more instead of just thinking it as principles, this and that. It's a person. Grace is a person. When we talk about the Spirit of Grace, it's a person. When we talk about Jesus, John said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he was full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Grace is a person. So we can relate to him a lot better when we put him on that level and just not things to do. You know, there's this way we've got to walk and depend upon the Holy Spirit. Once we get the dependence on the Holy Spirit, he's going to do much more for us. But depend on him. Say, Holy Spirit, here I'm at. Have conversation with the Holy Spirit. A person you can talk to.
Yes.
That's the reason I want to emphasize that the Holy Spirit is a person. Some folks say, it told me something. But he's a he and he's a person. A person you can communicate with. A person is for you to have a relationship, fellowship, talk to. You know, married couples, and you don't even have to be married, but you know, you want to say, if you don't want to live in a house with a person 365 days out of a year and don't say nothing, don't have no communication. Well, the Holy Ghost is housed in you.
Amen.
He's real close to you. You take him everywhere you go. He's your friend. He's your companion. He's your counselor. Talk to him. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, we really worked Holy Spirit this week. Well, he really didn't do no work because he knew where everything was anyway. I got a call from Ray that said, Sister Mary, I misplaced my phone. And I said, nothing lost in the kingdom. And he said, well, I don't know, you know, I think I might have left it on the table, blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And I said, Holy Spirit, now church is over with, and I don't think I'm going to unlock the doors. Work with me on this. So he hung up. I said, I'll call you back. I'm going to ask Candace, did she see anything on the table? And Candace said, no, nothing on the table, nothing left on the table. So I said, Ray, have you called your phone? He said, no. Nah. And I know it was Holy Spirit moving to me, because so I said, give me your phone number and I'm going to call you. So I got my other phone and I called him. He said, I hear something buzzing. That sounds like my phone. You know, y'all know how important phones are to us now. Our whole life is about on a phone to some people. Some people it's not, but most of the people it is. And then after that, the person that sing for me when I ministered, all y'all know Latricia, she called me. She said, Sister Mary, I really need my phone. I've lost my phone. She called me the next day. She said, I really need my phone. It's a very important phone. It's my work phone. And I've lost it. I said, well, nothing lost in the kingdom. I put the Holy Spirit to work on that one. So I said, where was the last place you went to? She said, I was at a meeting, but I picked it up and put it in my purse. I said, you call those folk back and tell them to look for your phone. And I know it was Holy Spirit talking. And she said, well, no. She said, I put it in my purse. I know I unplugged it and I put it in my purse. I said, call them. So she called them and they said, yeah, we got it under lock and key here. So that wasn't enough. My friend from Maryland texted me. I was on the plane and I left my tablet, just like a phone, you know, it's got a lot of information on it, and I really need that. I left it on the plane, and can you agree with me that it'll come? I said, nothing lost in the kingdom. She said, it's been a couple of days, though. It's been almost a week, you know. I said, it's nothing lost in the kingdom. Well, the next day they called her and told her. They didn't call her. They called somebody in another state that knew her sister and to tell her sister that they had her phone. And her sister called her and told her that we got your phone. It's in Texas. We're going to bring it back whenever we come back. But it's nothing lost in the kingdom. So we worked the Holy Spirit. Well, we really didn't work him because he knew where everything was, you know. But we acknowledge him in all three laws. I said, Lord, what's going on? What's prophetic about this? All these phone calls, one back to back, you know, about losing something. But Holy Spirit got them all. He got a 100.
You can believe for that.
Huh?
You can believe for that.
I can. Strongly. I can. Praise God. But, so Holy Spirit is very important in just every part of our life. Yes. How important was those phones and those tablets to them? They were very important. A lot of their information was on there. Somebody's job was on there. So we understand that the Holy Spirit wants to be in every detail of our life. Now, I've got to go to another part here. That's being dependent on the Holy Spirit. In everything, not just spiritual, but natural. He wants to be spiritually and naturally in our life. Breaking out, he wants to bring us fully into our supernatural life. We're just not normal people. We're supernatural people having a normal experience. So he wants to supernaturally brings us into these realms of God through dependency on him. See, if they had to depend on me, they never would have got any of that. Because I misplaced mine. Time they called me, I had misplaced. I said, Holy Spirit, I know you know where it is. And so I said, now, we got to work this very fast. And he just said, okay. I said, okay. Got it. You know, so they definitely weren't depending on me. It was all Holy Spirit. Okay, but we're talking about the Spirit of grace. Okay, let's go for a definition first. Now, what's that old definition that we hear about grace?
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. I mean, some people can really mess it up to sinners, to people that don't deserve. I mean, by the time they finish with grace, I'm like, God, you know, this is kind of a poor definition. This is one of the definitions that Fuchsia Pickett used. And it's on page 103. And she said, grace in the broadest sense is that quality of God's love that works in every area of our lives where we are deficient and have need. That's a better definition of grace. Because when they give you the definition, most people give you the definition of grace, they're talking about God helping some little sinner. They're still putting us in a category of not deserving. God has made us deserving. Even when we wasn't, he made us deserving. But then they describe God's unmerited favor toward sin. I've heard all kinds of, and I just go, ook. But it's God's divine love in action.
That's good.
That's what it is. Helping us where we are deficient and have a need. He's working in those areas. That's the area he wants to work in. You know, sometimes, I mean, don't think that you don't have no areas that you're deficient in and need help in. Because you have some of those areas. And the Holy Spirit knows it. So he's the Spirit of grace. And we're going to find out something about Holy Spirit. Let me go to Hebrews 10 and 29. Go to Hebrews 10 and 29 with me. And I'm going to read it both ways. I'm going to read it King James Version, and I'm going to read it out the Amplified. Let's go to the 28th verse. Let's start 28th verse. Hebrews 10, 28 and 29. I still hear pages turning, so I'm going to give you a minute or two. We're talking about the Spirit of grace. Okay, the 28th verse read, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. I mean, it was no mercy and no grace when you despise Moses' law. No mercy and no grace. They had two or three witnesses and you would die without mercy or grace. Of how much sore punishment supposedly shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God. We're not talking about Moses now. In this, the writer of Hebrew is not talking about Moses now. We're talking about Moses in the 28th. But in the 29th, he's talking about the Son of God. And that's Jesus. And has counted the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified an unholy thing. And has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Okay, that's this. He's comparing Moses' law and then the Son of Man. He's saying, under the Son of Man, you should get even more punishment. But the Spirit of grace steps in. The Spirit of grace. Now let me read that to you. I'm going to read the 29th in the Amplified. How much worse or heavier punishment do you suppose he would be judged to deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and who has considered the covenant blood by which he was consecrated common, profaning it and insulting it, outraging the Holy Spirit who imparts grace. The Holy Spirit who imparts what?
Grace.
Grace to us. Now we're going to find out today that it's the Holy Spirit that imparts grace to us. He imparts it to us. So you have grace living on the inside of you. He imparts the grace to you. So let's not forget that. And let's lean and rely on that Spirit of grace that's in you, that imparts grace to you. He wants to give you the grace to do whatever you need to do. He wants to impart it to you. And when we get that invitation from heaven, come boldly before the throne of grace. A grace throne. You know, in the time of kings, you couldn't come before the throne without being, without the scepter being held out or without an invitation. That was Esther's thing. She like, I hadn't been invited to the throne, you know. And if I come without, you know. But here you're being invited to a throne of grace. The one that sits on it is grace. He has put out and said, come. He's given you then. He said, come boldly. Come with confidence. And the book of John said, if you come with confidence, if you know him, if you know that he's heard you, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we know that he hears, we know we have the petition desired of us. Come with confidence. Come boldly. The blood of Jesus gives you bold access to the throne of grace. And he has given that invitation that we come that way, that we may find mercy and grace that we need in time of need. And that spirit of grace is constantly imparting grace to us when we yield to him. But we have to yield to the spirit of grace. You couldn't get to the throne of grace without the spirit of grace. You couldn't do it in the flesh. Yes, I can. I can. You can be like the people in Genesis building the Tower of Babel. They're going to build one. They're going to build one to heaven. They could get that. No, you could. It takes the spirit of what? Grace to help you get to the throne of grace. So the spirit of grace is always imparting grace in us. He's in us. The word of God said he's the one that's imparting the grace in us. And listen, my time is way up. So I'm going to stop here. But let me name the three of the seven office of the Holy Spirit that governs our lives. One is the spirit of grace, the spirit of supplication. Oh my God, that's a good one too. And the spirit of glory. Now, I spent a little bit more time on the spirit of grace. Even though I told you we talk about grace a lot, I wanted you to know that the Holy Spirit was the one that imparted grace to the believer. And how he acts with us with grace. In any situation and circumstance, come on up, Apostle, because I know my time is up. Come on up. And know through all your circumstances and everything you're faced with that the spirit of grace imparts grace to the believer. Amen, 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 amen. And we do need the spirit of grace imparting grace to us so we can come that victorious person.